How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. It is fall. It's November. It's cold. I'm wearing a fall shirt for the first time. The cutoff sleeves are gone, even though it's pretty warm here in New York. But a lot to talk about. You know, it's interesting because we got an entire generation of wrestling fans are used to one pay-per-view a month. And this was the case for almost 20 years. We had one show a month. That was the big pay-per-view. And that's what we would talk about. It's wild. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. I had people over. And, you know, he's a casual wrestling fan. And we'll go into this a little bit today on the show. So I always like people's perspective of professional wrestling when they're a casual fan. And he's like, yeah, he's like, what, like, when are the pay-per-views? And I'm like, well, there's, you know, Full Gear coming up. There's War Games, which is Survivor Series coming up. GCW has a big show in January. MLW's around. TNA is still around. New Japan has a big show in January. They're doing two shows. He's like, oh, my God. He's like, those are all pay-per-views? I'm like, yeah, pretty much. I'm like, some of them. I mean, MLW's not running it, but TNA has pay-per-views regularly. AEW has pay-per-views regularly. WWE, New Japan. And you know, they were a little younger than me. And that was such a weird concept that you could have three pay-per-views in a month. And that's, you know, people of a certain age, that's what we grew up with. We had ECW, we had WCW, we had WWE, and we would just order these pay-per-views. We would watch them. So I want to talk about this because we have a lot of shows coming up. Also, SmackDown on Friday, Collision last night, which I liked. I like Collision. Dynamite is shaping up. We got Adam Cole and Takeshita coming up, and a whole lot more. Let's go into this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Hit me up on X. Follow me at Andrew Zarian. Also, you can see everything else that I do, including we're live, pal, here on the Wrestling Observer website. I do that with Garrett on Tuesdays. I do another show called Beyond the Bell. I do that on Fightful. We're all friends here. There's no feud between people. We're all friends. Listen, I like to be everywhere. I want to be around the best of the best, and I am around the best of the best. I take pride in that. That's why I host this show. This is a big thing for me, personally. 16-year-old Andrew Zarian in his bedroom connecting his computer to his Iowa boombox with a timer that my brother's godfather wrote for me. It was a program where every time Dave and Brian were on with the Wrestling Observer on IATA, I would have it automatically recorded, and I would come home, and I would listen to it at night. It was fantastic. So it's a blessing for me to do this. Let's go into SmackDown here, because this is shaping up for War Games, and it's exactly what we thought would be happening. In a good way, right? Sometimes predictability is a fantastic thing. Roman Reigns, Bloodline segment. He turned down Sami's plea to help, and then explained that the kick last week was an accident. He calls out Solo. Instead, he gets Jacob Fatu. Jacob cut a promo, huh, MG?
Yeah, he did, and it sounded good doing it.
Dude, that
he's going to he's kind something. Of the guy, right? He's the guy.
There is something very special about him. And forever. I mean, this is something if you followed him in MLW and you followed him, you know, the last couple of years, you recognize that okay, there's something here, right? There is he's not just the body there.
Yeah,
there's something very special about Jacob and their protection.
He's got that presence. He's got that presence for sure.
He was on the screen saying that Solo works on his time. He's the tribal chief, not Roman. Roman was backstage. Jimmy and Jay approached him. They were trying to defend Sammy, and Roman sent them away. You had Bayley defeating Candice LeRae. This went about 8 minutes. This was the interesting thing. A lot of people lost their minds on the internet over. They did a very old-school WWE brawl between Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. It broke out when Orton called him out, and he went to the ring. It would end with a pile driver. that commentary put over so heavy as a banned illegal move. Now, it was a very soft pile driver.
Yeah,
not going to criticize that. Listen, a lot of people were complaining about this. They're like, it was, it looked terrible. I'm like, guys, you know, baby steps. You know, you got a pile driver.
This was an F you to Vince. Is what I took.
I saw it as. Listen, they're evolving. It's a move that's done regularly in professional wrestling. You see it on every other product except WWE. And I'm sure that the wrestlers have advocated to use that move again because it is an impactful move. The problem with it is that when you see 15 pile drivers on one show, it doesn't mean much anymore. You haven't seen this in WWE. I want to say there was another one after the CM Punk and Cena match. You remember that one?
I do remember that one. That was in 2011
Michael Cole was awed. He was in awe. It was on Raw. It was a Raw match. It was fantastic, that match. And they hit a pile driver on John Cena, and Michael Cole didn't even know how to call it.
Mm-hmm.
This was a little different. This wasn't that kind of pile driver, but it told the story. Randy Orton gets stretchered out. Cody accompanies him to the ambulance. This is obviously leading to Cody and Kevin Owens.
And I also think this was to keep Cody away from the Bloodline segment. By having him go to the hospital.
Yeah, thank God. I don't want him anywhere near that. I was very worried. I saw the predictability here in a positive way that it should be Bloodline versus Bloodline and Sammy could be involved. I thought that was a positive. I did not want Cody in the mix. I know Cody's very involved with them. I think it was a mistake to do that tag match. I did not like that tag match with Cody involved. I get why they did it. But this is nice to separate them a little bit. We had DIY, and we're going to get more Bloodline stuff here. DIY defeated Pretty... I was going to call him Pretty Ugly. I don't know why. That's a great tag team name. Pretty Ugly? We need that, actually. And you know what? You have one guy that's such like a handsome stud, and the other one is just mortifying to look at. Pretty Ugly. Great tag team. I'll give that to Tony. I give that to Hunter. They could take that idea. I came up with a great gimmick. Jade and Bianca defeated Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton. They're still teasing this briefcase. And who Tiffany is going to cash in on. It has to end up being Nia.
And at some point it needs to happen. I feel like it has to happen sooner than later. Don't you? At this point?
Yeah.
It's just... because they just keep doing this every week. I was like, move on.
Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin defeated A-Town Down Under to retain the WWE tag team titles. This went 10 minutes, 36 seconds. What do you think of their presentation so far, the Motor City Machine Guns? These are your boys. They're from your town.
Yes. Yeah,
you're a Motor City boy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So far, I like how they've been presented. I think they presented great. Now, you know, the way they're doing this and they're trying to make DIY a little more having Ciampa go a little more rogue like he used to and giving them an edge. It looks like they're going to build a big program between these two teams.
Incredible. Those would be
absolutely rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, you know,
I don't think any wrestling fan would not love those matches.
Last 2 or 3 years of this company has been a tremendous evolvement. Is that a word?
You're making up stuff today.
Now I'm making words up.
And now you're making words up.
There's something going on. Something's in the water today. It obviously is a tremendous evolution of the product going back to its core. Pro wrestling. Not whatever we were getting. And this is a good sign. Guys like Ciampa and Gargano in the mix in a real position. Same with Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. I have to be honest. I never thought I would see them come there, go to WWE.
Me neither.
And then I never thought they would be given the world championship immediately in their first match or second match, whatever it was, third match. It's incredible. I like it. It's good. It's different, right? It keeps you on your toes when you're watching the product. Now you're involved. Now you're invested. Solo would hold an acknowledgement ceremony. Roman would come out, not acknowledge him, instead challenge him for the real tribal chief crown. Solo tells him no, and this is a war. He basically said,
yeah, he said, why would I? I'm already the tribal chief.
Yeah.
Which I went, oh, that makes sense, but you're really not, but okay. And then,
yeah. He also said that Sammy was his guy. Mm-hmm. And Roman gets attacked. He gets beat up. And here comes Sammy out of nowhere. And he hits Solo with a haluva kick. The show goes off the air. Roman, Sammy, and the Usos putting up the ones. War Games is official. OG Bloodline versus the New Bloodline. Fantastic. Now, this is a 4-on-4. And when we come back from break, I'll go into this so and what far. We have so far for this show. And there was some other news that made headlines here that we're going to go into, like a new title in this company. Is it too many titles? We'll talk about it. But very excited for this. So right now, War Games, the match is set. We'll see. Maybe they'll add a fifth person. There's many family members out there that are tremendously talented that they could add. I don't know if this would be the moment. I don't know if this would elevate anybody, if this would kind of make them get lost in the shuffle. But I like this. I like this a lot. Great storytelling. The same story they've been telling for the last 4 years. Unbelievable. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. You can catch all my thoughts there. As we were saying, OG Bloodline versus Bloodline match is set for Survivor Series. I, you know, it's funny because I have difficulty calling this Survivor Series. I call the show War Games now. And I like that this is part of it. It's War Games. The show is War Games. Survivor Series, but it's War Games. They found the niche for Survivor Series. It was an outdated concept. 5-on-5. We never got that. Now we see it every day. So they added an extra element. Then it's this tremendous match that Vince McMahon never wanted to bring to the main roster. Amazing, right? Imagine all those matches we would have had over time. Maybe it would have been terrible. I don't know. You know what they would have done? Hogan versus everybody. They did that in WCW, dear. Remember?
Yes.
They did that. They killed everybody.
We would be sick of it by now, I think.
Maybe. You're right.
Yeah.
Listen, we're not sick of the Rumble.
No.
I look forward to that every year. It's the one of the best wrestling matches ever created. Such an easy way to get somebody to become a huge fan. You get to learn about everybody in a matter of an hour. You don't get that opportunity with TV.
Well, let's not kid yourself. 4 hours.
4 hours. 4 hours. WWE introduces a new title. It's the Women's United States Championship. Aldis said that the title will not be handed out, but one competitor will seize the opportunity and become the champion. What do you make of this? I want your thoughts.
What I make of this is I like it, and it sounds like there's going... So he said SmackDown specifically.
Yeah.
So that tells me that tomorrow on Raw, we're going to get an IC title, too. At least that's what I would think.
You know, is it a bad thing, right? We should think about this. Is it a bad thing? Do you need...
I don't think it is, but there's a caveat.
Yeah, okay, give me your caveat.
The caveat is that they will have to bring up more women from NXT to make this kind of work. To make it, instead of just having two people fight over it all the time, because that's what will happen. And also, the number of segments on the show, women's segments that they do currently. Now, there's a rumor out there that they're going to go to 3 hours for both Raw and SmackDown. Whether or not you like that or not, because I know you don't, but there will be time to fill, and you'll be able to do 3 or 4 segments, women's segments on each show. If you can do that, then bringing, because the NXT has so many women.
Yeah,
that are
and they develop women
roster.
Much better than men in NXT. That's just
absolutely.
It's a fact. It's a total fact, and I'm not. It's no knock at the talent, but they do a much better job at creating an overall great presentation for the women and it's more difficult for the men, for whatever reason. I don't know. And I bring this up all the time. Give me a list of NXT women, right? The women in NXT. How many women on the main roster came from NXT that were essentially, I mean, I'm sure they, some had indie experience, not much. They were, or someone like, you know, Bayley. Bayley had a big indie career, but was she really known to the audience? No. You recreated who they were. You repackaged them. They became very different. The women's roster was so strong for them the last decade, where give me your world champion in-house creation for the men. You don't have one. Braun Breaker is going to be the really closest thing to it right now. So I'm not against this. I think it's fine.
I would be fine with it, too, being a floating title, too. If they want to go that way,
yeah,
that's fine,
I think a
too.
Floating title would be even better, you know, just like you have the floating tag titles for the women. You have one title. Mm-hmm. I feel the same for the men, too. I don't think we need two tag titles for the men. I think if you're the champion, you're on both brands, and you're giving more challenges. The multiple title thing is, you know, for the world title, there's an argument. But for everything else, I don't know if that argument is there so much. We'll see what happens. I'm not against this.
Yeah, and did you like the title, how it looked?
Yeah, it's the U.S. title with a white strap. Yeah. It looks great.
So if they do that with the IC title, if it has a white strap, it's going to look like the old title. So I don't know.
I don't like that new IC design. I don't like it at all. I understand why they needed to update it, but I'm not a fan of it. WWE NXT beat AEW Dynamite head-to-head this week. NXT drew a 0.17 rating in the 18-49. That was up 21% from last week. And it was the best rated show. It's the best rating the show has drawn since October 15th. Dynamite was in its regular time slot, did 532,000 viewers on TBS. That was down 16.7%. It was the fourth lowest audience of all time. And it was a good show. I liked that show, and I liked NXT. Listen, NXT was going to do well. It was an ECW nostalgia show from a historic building in professional wrestling. I wonder who's going to run the Hammerstein first. Is it going to be AEW, or is it going to be NXT? You want to take a little bet?
No, because I think I know.
Okay.
I will say this about that show, about them. I think it was an election hangover for a lot of people.
It was. You know what, dude? I did not watch Dynamite live. I didn't watch NXT live either. I watched it the following day. I just needed a little break from the television.
The world.
The world.
The world in general.
Yeah. Yeah. I needed a little break. So, all right. It is what it is. You know, they are kicking this. NXT's doing good. And I think they're going to continue to do good. It's a hot product right now. It's catering to a younger demo, as you can tell with the presentation of it.
Main event was a women's match, right?
And the main event, yeah. It is a very different NXT. This is a whole new version of it. You know, we went from the original concept, then we went to the black and gold era where you had Adam Cole and you had all these guys coming in from Ring of Honor and Japan, and they were, you know, essentially the best workers in the world were there. And AEW started, they hit the reset button here, and this is more of a hybrid of a product.
And they're not afraid to bring people down from the main roster, spruce it up a little bit, do some different things. Yeah, it's an easy watch. You know, I know a lot of people don't like it, but it's an easy watch if you don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, not bad. Let's go into Collision here a little bit. We got a couple minutes here. It was a good show. I enjoyed it. I liked it better than last week. I was pretty critical about Collision last week. I liked this a little bit better. Did you look at that? Malakai Black was on it after everybody thought he was leaving. Every time that man does anything emotional, everybody thinks he's gone. it's foreshadowing something. I don't know what. You had House of Black open the show against the Iron Savages. Dude, what an impressive trio these three are, right? Brody King, Buddy Matthews, and Malakai. Just an impressive look. Great presentation. Just, I don't, why, Why isn't Malakai in the mix in the top tier? Why isn't Brody King in the mix in the top tier? I don't know. I don't know. It's a question I ask constantly. But we did get something cool here. FTR would come out and confront House of Black and ask who would be facing on Wednesday to qualify for Full Gear. Malakai and Brody would step up. So that's the match. Very cool. Full Gear, four-way contender series. You had the Outrunners defeating Top Flight. So they're in this also. You had Roderick Strong defeating the Beast Mordos. What did you think of this match? I get so tickled by Mordos. And he's been just, around for a while.
Hey, I'm just gonna grunt all the time and get over, and it's working.
That's your gimmick, dude. That's your gimmick. That's your gimmick. I think Jake Roberts being teamed with them is a little funky.
It's weird, but in some ways it makes sense. Having somebody that can present them so they don't have to talk. I mean, it's the whole manager thing. Whether or not he's the right guy for that, I don't know. But, you know, he is a good talker when yeah. he's healthy.
Yeah. It was interesting. We'll see. Chris Statlander defeated Ashley Vox. Mercedes would come off freshly off her vehicular homicide attempt. From Dynamite.
I thought you'd like that in there. did you like that? Because that whole segment came off very weird.
It came off very weird. And... Yeah, it came off very weird. We're running people over again in wrestling. Some things never change. She snuck up on Statlander after the match and locked her in the bank statement. So who's the heel here?
Well, it's supposed to be Mercedes.
Is it?
But
because Statlander's a heel.
She's not, though. They pulled her away from Stokely, and they're trying to make her more of a baby face. They just did it so fast. When you do it that fast, it's hard. You're stuck in that little
you didn't evolve
dilemma
anything
where you don't know. Right.
So that's continuing. Jack Perry defeated Action Andretti. TNT title match. Julia Hart was cheerleading on the football field before... what did they do here? Just my.
She had a mental break and she was like vignette. In a dream or something.
Yeah. She had a dream that she was still a cheerleader. It was like, and she woke up before
she
the
woke
vignette
up.
Ended.
So I'm wondering if this is, are they going with the spooky gimmick or
no, keep
is she,
her spooky.
Did she wake up?
Keep her
did
spooky.
She wake up and she's going to be something different now?
Nick Wayne defeated AR Fox and you had AEW World Trios title. Match Death Riders again defeating the Conglomeration. That was Collision. I like that match. I think it's weird seeing Ishii teamed up with those guys, but it's I get a kick out of it every time. Very interesting stuff. When we come back from break, we're going to go into some of the stuff from Dynamite, everything that's leading into Full Gear. We'll also talk about how the card for War Games is shaping up, and Kenny Omega is coming back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's talk about Full Gear that's coming up. What day is that supposed to be? The 23rd? Is that the day? Not this week, the following week, right? Or no, maybe I'm wrong. Full Gear. Let's see. AEW Full Gear here. From Newark, New Jersey. I'm not going to that show. A lot of people are asking me. November 23rd. I'm not going to that show. I don't go to the Newark shows. No hate towards Jersey. I just don't want to do that drive. It's not
that
close.
That's a long way for you, isn't it?
It's not close. Everybody thinks it's like, well, it's like New York. I'm like, no, it's not close. Newark is not that close. God forbid there's a football game happening. You got to go towards Jersey. It's a disaster. I'm in my little bubble here in Bayside, Queens. I don't want to leave it. We need wrestling here. I want to see wrestling like up the block.
Hey, you got that though. You're
I
spoiled.
Do, actually. Yeah. I just walked out. I walk 10 minutes. I get on the train. I'm at the garden. It's fantastic. Let's talk about Full Gear that's shaping up. Do me a favor. Can you give me the card for Wrestle Kingdom and the following day as well while I go down this?
Yeah.
Little back behind the scenes production talk here. So here's a card for Dynamite. And this looks great. So Adam Cole has been on a win streak here. And this is leading up to a match with MJF, whether or not it's a three-way or it's a singles match. Takeshita versus Adam Cole is set for this week. This is a big match. If Cole wins, he earns a match against MJF at Full Gear. Cool. What do you think of Adam Cole so far with his return as a babyface?
I don't know. He's never done it for me.
Okay.
I know a lot of people love him, but I don't know. I know they're taking it easy on him, so maybe I need him to have just a really banger of a match. I wonder, do you think maybe they're doing a three-way with this?
I'm thinking it might. I'm thinking it may lead to that, and I think it should. I know a lot of people are going to be disappointed, but I don't think this is the time to do the Adam Cole MJF match.
Yeah, so because the stipulation is they have to, whoever gets the three wins first. So on the
show, but they added something. They added something to this. I forgot how they explained it, but it's not necessarily who gets there first. How are you going to do that? Who gets there first? Cole has won two already. He has a match, and so does Roddy.
Yeah, and they're both supposed to have matches on Dynamite.
Yeah.
So that was my question. So the guy the guy that has the first match, if he wins, he's in?
That's not fair.
No.
So, I mean, what really it should be is if they tie, then the match is Roderick Strong and Adam Cole. And the winner of that faces MJF if you want to do it the right way. But who knows? It's wrestling. You know, you could come up with some crazy stipulation and it'll work there. You have a Falls Count Anywhere match with Lance Archer and Roderick Strong. Lance Archer has had a new presentation. I'm liking it. If Strong wins, he'll earn the match against MJF at Full Gear. If both Cole and Strong win, it'll be a three-way. Hangman Page and Christian versus Jay White and Juice Robinson. Weird pairing. No?
It was different.
That's a weird pairing. Okay, we'll see what happens here. Christian still has the not the briefcase. He has the contract for a title shot that he could cash in on. I don't know how they'll do this. I think if I were to fantasy book now, I would wait for Edge to be ready to return. Once Adam Copeland returns, he could be the spoil here for Christian. Or Christian somehow wins the title, and Adam Copeland is the contender for it. You have to do that. I really believe that you got to do the reunion, and you got to do the match, like the proper match.
Your whole thing with star power, I'm starting to see is, because you said that in the past, you didn't think there was enough stars. I'm starting to see it more and more. Like,
listen, and I'm not an advocate for, and I'm going to say this, I am not one of those guys that believes that that only young talent should hold the world titles. Having someone that's older and a veteran and a former star being in a key position, I'm not against it if it makes all the sense in the world for you. And for AEW right now, yeah, they have to build their young talent. They have to establish that as the next generation and somebody that you want to tune into. But with a declining rating, and now you have a new deal, and you're on, you know, 2025, I think, is going to be a refresh for them. You got to have guys like Adam Copeland in the mix in a prime position where when people are channel surfing or they see a clip online, they recognize it. They say, oh, my gosh, Edge, he's there. And, oh, my gosh, he's facing Christian. Or they team up, whatever it is. We think very differently as fans that consume this stuff all day, every day. Most people don't consume content that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sunday. Most people watch football all day. They watch that for 18 weeks, and guess what? They're done. They're out. They don't consume it throughout the year. We consume this thing obsessively because that's the type of fans that we are. That's why we're talking about it right now. We see it very differently. I do think Edge needs to be in a key position here, no matter what it is. When he returns, same with Jericho. Listen, a lot of people hate that Jericho has position. There's a reason why he's Ring of Honor World Champion. We've seen the rumors. We've seen the news come out of The Observer. They're working on a TV deal. I have yet to still hear anything about Ring of Honor, so this could be the best kept secret. I don't know where they're going, but I also haven't spoken to anybody in about 3 weeks, so this is all new development. All right, we'll see. You know, but having Chris Jericho there on their TV is a positive for their TV because people will tune in. No matter how much you think Chris Jericho's not a draw and people don't like him and whatever, there's a huge amount of people that do. And they don't read anything that people are writing on X or on Instagram or any of that stuff.
There's a name that if you see him on TV, if you're flipping the channel, you know that face. You know who that is.
Yep.
That's...
Yep. We're going to get AEW Full Gear Contender Series, House of Black versus FTR. Swerve Strickland versus Leo Rush, a former Bobby Lashley ally. Let's see where that goes. Bobby Lashley returned also last week, which we did not talk about. But my God, that man looks incredible. He's a giant. He's from another planet. the social media scores for the viewership and everything has been tremendous for this. So we'll see how this goes. I want to see Kenny Omega and Bobby Lashley. I want to see Kenny Omega put him up for a one-winged angel. I want to see how he'll do that. Britt Baker versus Penelope Ford. Penelope Ford's been back having some decent matches. Will Ospreay will appear. Bobby Lashley will appear. John Moxley will seize the Superstation TBS. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
He's going to seize it. He's going to go into the control room in Atlanta and take it over.
Maybe that's what they do. Maybe they do. This does feel very NWO.
He's a domestic terrorist. He's taking over a station.
It does feel very NWO-ish to me.
I like that they're no longer the BCC, and now we're officially the Death Riders.
Yes.
I like that a lot. I hated that name. I hated the BCC. I did not like the name. It made no sense with Regal gone. So now the Death Riders, great. Menacing. Who's your favorite in there? Marina's my favorite.
Yes, Marina's my favorite too. The way they're presenting her, and I think I've said this before in here, she is a modern day China in that aspect.
Yeah, why not? She's a legitimate tough person.
I mean, she can beat most of the men. I mean, a lot of the men that are smaller, she can dominate.
I like her presentation.
Not in a weird way, but she's very good. And now who do you get now with the conglomeration? Where's Willow? Because Willow would be the only person I could think that would stand up to her. So they're going to have to bring in a woman at some point to stand up. We'll see if they even do that. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe they don't even need to.
Maybe not. And we also have Mina returning. Big fan. I'm a huge fan of Mina's. That's one of
she's going to get involved in that.
Yeah, I love that Mina's there.
Yeah, I don't know if she's going to be the one to take the title off of Mariah May, but that story is going to be good.
Yeah. Well, also, Tony Storm is returning, so that it's going to lead into something.
Yeah.
Here's a card for Full Gear. You got Zero Hour. You got the Costco guys, AJ. Boom or Doom versus QT Marshall. Are you not a Costco guy fan? Are you not a fan
We've
of a double chocolate chip? Are you not a fan of a chicken bake? With the Costco guys.
I have no idea who these people are.
I love that this
not my demographic
freaking guy, this freaking guy from New Jersey. He was an indie wrestler. He's down in Florida. After all these years of, you know, obviously he had a dream of becoming a professional wrestler. Obviously he had a dream of, you know, making it somewhere. He's on AEW and has nothing to do with his ability as a wrestler. It has everything to do with going viral, and it just so happens that he's a wrestler. I love that. And that's not a knock. I appreciate people that are able to break it out, you know, is somehow, whatever the hell they're doing. Looks great. Four-way match for the AEW tag titles. You have Private Party defending against the Outrunners. That's one group that qualified, and to be determined for the other two.
They're so over.
So who's it going to be? It's going to be the Outrunners. It's going to be...
Probably FTR.
Probably FTR, and the other one will be... Who was the other one in the match? Who else? Someone else is going to qualify. Yeah, pull it. I don't know who else. Someone else. I don't know what the match was. I thought I had it here. I totally forgot. My brain stopped.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Thank you. Didn't I just read who this was? House of Black versus FTR. I don't know who else. We'll see. may know who it is. Jay White. What else do we have here? Where am I?
Yeah.
Where am I? I'm lost. My notes crashed.
Jesus.
Oh, here we are. MJF versus either Roderick Strong and Adam Page. I think it'll be both. So we'll have a three-way here. So you continue that program. Bobby Lashley versus Swerve Strickland and Bobby Lashley's debut match for AEW. I don't know. I think Lashley needs to win. He needs to beat Swerve. No question about it. Jay White versus Hangman Page. This might be the match of the night. These guys have been having tremendous matches together. TNT Championship, Jack Perry defense against Daniel Garcia. I think Daniel Garcia should take it. TBS Championship, Mercedes Moné against Chris Statlander. And AEW World Champion, Jon Moxley defends against Orange Cassidy. Is this when Orange wins the title?
I don't think so.
I don't think so
either. But I
think
it will continue.
Yeah. I don't think so either. You also had Kenny Omega get in the mix at New Japan Power Struggle here. He was attacked by Gabe Kidd. There was a nice backstage voyeuristic shot of them fighting from somebody's cell phone. This is leading into a match, obviously. You also have Shingo taking on Takeshita to a double title match at Wrestle Kingdom 19. Okay.
Oh.
That should
he
be a
challenged,
match.
I think. It's not official yet, but yeah. He challenged.
He challenged. And that card is shaping up. You know, there's some things here that I like, and there's some things I don't like. I don't think Shota Umino is that guy for that world title match, but, you know, they're evolving here. When we come back, we'll touch on this a little bit more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final few minutes of the show. Yeah, listen, I'm excited for New Japan because they seem like things are starting to fire on all cylinders again. But the main event, I'm not crazy about it. Zack Sabre Jr. and Shota Umino. You have Tanahashi versus Evil. Dave Finley versus Yota Tsuji for the Global Championship. I think Tsuji needs to win that title. You have Dookie. Every time I hear his name, I think of Hulk Hogan in that movie. Against El Desperado. Ren Narita against Jeff Cobb in a three-way. It's fine. And then the following day, we're going to get Zack Sabre Jr. and Ricochet. And most likely, we're going to get Gabe Kidd and Kenny Omega on that show.
If Kenny can go. And also, Moxley did challenge Umino.
Yeah, Moxley challenged Umino. So if Umino wins, then Moxley's going to challenge or not. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I'm very curious about Kenny because I think his first appearance needs to be on AEW, not New Japan.
Agreed.
I think that's a mistake. He's a big name. You're going to spoil that big return. Or, you know, the argument is, and Dave said this, not a lot of people are going to tune into that. They're not even going to be privy to it. What percentage of that 700,000 or 650,000 viewers on Dynamite watch New Japan regularly? I think it's a small fraction, so it may not even matter. I want to see Kenny back. I want that healthy roster. I want to see everybody back in 2025. You need to have these people on TV every week. You need Max there. You need Kenny there. You need Jay White there. You need Hangman there. I mean, as many people as you can. Because they have an uphill battle. Because WWE's really hot. There's not enough hours in the day for people to consume everything. So you have to convince people. Guys, that's it for this week. Love each and every one of you. We'll be back next week. We're Wrestling Observer Live. Take care.